And freaks.
Creepies and freakies!
Welcome back to the In the Nick of Crime podcast.
Hey, yo.
We're actually recording a Scoops and Lore for the first time since, oh my gosh, I think the last episode was September, and episode 23, I think we recorded in October.
Oh, dear.
It's been a long
time. Sorry, guys.
We're excited to be back. It's Scoops and Lore, bitches.
Yeah! It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I love Scoops and Lore.
I know, I've been really excited to record this.
Have you?
I have.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So on Scoops and Lore, we don't fuck around.
No.
We don't do fuckery.
Nope.
We just get right into it. And Courtney always goes first on Scoops and Lore. Okay, go.
Always. Okay, go. So I'm going to do the case of Martha and Eugene Grimes.
Why'd you say their last name like that? Grimes. You sounded like a goat.
Because they're creepy AF.
Okay.
Tell you what.
You just sound like a goat.
Shut up. Okay.
Let's hear it.
All right. Early 2000s, Savannah, Georgia, became the unwilling host of one of the most disturbing criminal acts of the century.
Which century?
Of the century.
It's been early 2000s. 100 years. This century. Well, yes. No, it was valid. My question was valid. Of this century.
Century, correct.
The previous century.
Yes, no, okay. This one. Cool. Martha and Eugene Grimes were... They seemed like a really compassionate couple. They opened their house for foster children, for the needy. Like,
mm-hmm.
They were basically, like, the grandma and grandpa of the town.
I think I know these bitches.
Probably.
Yeah.
But
not personally.
But they actually ended up with one of the most, like, heinous crimes beyond closed doors within their sprawling Victorian home, if that doesn't tell you.
Why are you doing this for Scoops and Lore?
Trust me,
you'll
know.
Oh, is this the one that you... Okay.
You'll know.
Okay.
Okay, so, guests who were actually seeking shelter would find themselves in an unwanted, horrific situation.
Okay.
Martha and Eugene would sedate their guests and their foster children.
Oh, dear.
Where they would forcibly stitch onto them animal costumes, i.e. teddy bears are the most common. Your face is saying it all. You should see Michelle's face right now.
I'm so uncomfortable already. Oh my god.
Once they had done this, though, they would actually force them unwillingly to perform perverse entertainment. These horrific acts and events actually continued undetected for 18 years. Now, the truth behind this was just... horrible. Like, and it was so odd when people found out about this because they didn't ever expect this.
Like, normal people can't comprehend that.
No.
Like, what would fucking possess someone?
I have no idea.
Oh my gosh.
So, in 2022, the Grimes crimes, as they're so nicely quoted, came to light because a former foster student, or foster child, actually was triggered by the game Five Nights at Freddy's.
See, as soon as you said that, I was like, this is giving me some weird Five Nights at Freddy vibes, because my nephew was super obsessed with Five Nights at Freddy's.
I have found that a lot of kids were actually really obsessed with it, so.
Yikes.
I get that. So they obviously recalled the trauma that they witnessed, leading investigators to a shocking discovery. So as investigators continue to look into the claims and investigate the house and the property, they actually uncovered a mass grave. On the outskirts of the property.
Of course they did.
Many victims were found still grotesquely bound in their costumes, like prisons. And it's actually unknown what happened to Martha and Eugene Grimes, as this is an AI-generated story.
That's okay. See, I knew. I was like, this gotta be the one that you were saying that you were gonna do for fucking true crime. Also, sorry in advance for the banging you hear in the background, because I got some rude fucking neighbors.
Yeah, I wanted to put that out there because I literally thought that was a real case and I was going to cover it for our regular cases.
I must have, like, come across it somewhere because I was like, the names definitely sound familiar.
Probably. It's all over TikTok, but it's an AI-generated story on TikTok. I probably TikTok.
Saw it on the TikToks. Yeah. See, this is where things get weird because it's like, you know, AI's been a thing in the back of our minds for a while now, but it's like ChatGPT, shit like that. It's getting weird, y'all.
It's getting...
like, getting too humanoid.
That's what kind of freaked me out the most with this was, like, even the images that people had for the TikTok story were, like, very realistic, but they're all AI-generated.
Yeah. If anyone, like, has seen the thread of, like, people having AI-generated cast members of Harry Potter, like, raving... it's hilarious, but also very unsettling at the same time because it's not them. And there's, like, somewhere there's, like, two Hagrids. Somewhere there's, like, they have four fingers or something. And it makes you so uncomfy. It's, like, anyone that hasn't listened to all our Scoops and Lore episodes, I covered the Uncanny Valley. It's literally, like, that's what it makes me feel like. It's just so weird and uncomfy.
It's very weird, very uncomfy. I thought it was a real case.
Yeah.
Definitely not a real case. But I still wanted to bring it because it messes with your head a little bit.
Right. I can't laugh at any of that.
I know, you can't. But I do have an actual story that's very short that I'm going to bring to you that is also Scoopy, Scoopy, Screepy, Freaky, Creepy, all of Screepy. That fun stuff.
Okay, you can never judge me for saying Scoopy again because you said Screepy.
You know what? Two peas makes a pod. There you have it.
I was going to make a really dickish comment. I won't.
Please don't. I can only handle so much. Okay, I have, like, literally a page, so it's not very long.
Okay, Courtney's just breaking rules.
I'm breaking rules left and right. I got two for you today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So my real case is Heyal Finnyog, which you probably don't know what that is. No. You probably don't know where it is.
Yeah, it sounds like you just, like, let letters fall out of your mouth.
Probably butchering it, I'll be 100% honest. I even tried to, like, look it up. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Don't hate me. And this is ironically enough in England again. So anyway, or Welsh. I'm not really sure. Anyway.
Well, Wales is different than England.
I'll figure it out as soon as we start talking. It's in here.
Okay.
Okay. So all starts 1989. I was literally like two at this point, which is awful to think about. A young couple, Liz and Bill Rich, actually moved to what they thought was their dream home to raise their children or family in. At the time, Bill was actually an artist in England.
Okay.
And his wife, Liz, was pregnant with their first child, and they actually moved into a very old stone property that was converted from an even older barn. So originally a barn, converted into a stone home, and now just chilling out in literally BFE.
Right.
Along with Bill's son from his first marriage, and his name was Lawrence. To start off, let me just talk to you about this house.
Okay.
This farmhouse, whatever you want to call it. It's literally sitting on the edge of Beacons National Park. Again, with these
Beacons.
It's a national park. They thought it was the perfect place for a home. It literally sits...
How could they build a house in a national park?
Dude, I have no idea. And it literally, like, sits in this, like, weird-ass valley, and it's the only building there. Like, maybe there's nothing.
Do y'all just do national parks differently out in Europe? Like, ours are protected land. Nah, dude.
It's wild. They thought this was a great place to raise a family. I'm not judging, but, like, absolutely not could you ever convince me to live in an old farmhouse in the middle of BFE by myself.
Listen, it's whatever floats their weird little boat, okay?
Hey, I'm here for it. It's in the Welsh countryside.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you said England first, so...
I know.
Wales.
Sorry, it's in the Welsh countryside, if you guys don't know. But they thought it was a great place for their family, and Bill ended up having, like, a room for his entire studio and, like, felt inspired by everything around him.
So did, like, neither of them work and they were just always in their house in the middle of nowhere?
So I think his artist job is what paid for everything. He sold his art.
Food and sustenance.
You know, that's a really interesting thing, and I'm not sure.
Okay. Whatever.
So within weeks of them moving into this house, unexplainable things begin to happen. Like,
of course.
Not trying to sound like an asshole, but no shit, Sherlock.
Right, exactly. Like, if it's in a national park. Like, there's a reason that, well, I mean, like, for one, it's usually protected space, and chances are there's some old energy up in that shit.
Oh, there's some real old energy up in the show, let me tell you what. All right. First incident. Shortly after their son Ben was born.
Okay.
Liz gets up to feed Ben during the middle of the night, goes downstairs by herself. Shortly after, Bill wakes up. He decides to go downstairs. That's where the bathroom's at. Tries to use the bathroom.
Right.
While he's using the restroom, he starts to hear footsteps above. Nobody's up there. No one's up there. He knew Liz was still downstairs. He's downstairs. Their son's downstairs. What's going on?
Nope.
No, thank you.
Nope.
Mm-mm. That would have been my first key of being like, and I'm out.
Yeah. Like, see ya. This was a mistake. Let's go.
See you later.
Fuck out of here.
Titties run. So.
It sounded like you said titties run.
I did.
What? Why?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
It means run. Make the titties flap and run.
Your titties don't run. They just move while you're running. I'm like, what are yours doing? That means they are way too low if they're running for you.
I'm not that age yet.
You said it.
There's a reason why we wear sports bra on sports. Just saying.
Like, if your titties are running, you got another problem.
They're running to the track star.
That's why you just tuck that shit in, man.
I'm dead.
Okay. Do your boobs.
Do you not want to do it, bro?
Why do we always end up making titty jokes?
I don't know. Because we have them, so we can.
Yeah, I guess it's like boys ball jokes.
Alright.
Anyway.
Alright. Second titty running event. That struck them odd was when they received their electric bill.
Okay.
Which, mind you, I was like, what? When I first read this, and then I was like,
energy,
okay.
Power surges.
Power surges. Their bill was super high. And mind you, they literally live out in BFE.
Yeah, like they've got to have, like, their own generator.
Bill super high. They are being charged for way more, even when their previous house that they were in. Like, this is, like, almost 10 times from what I read, like, what they being billed at their previous house.
Vendor was.
Right? So they ended up working with their energy provider to rule out all rational causes, which was, like, electrical faults.
Meter issues.
Meter issues, anything like that. And so they concluded that their high energy usage was due to unexplained power surges. Like, could not explain these power surges.
Yeah, man. They need one of those little doodly dads that's, like, the meter, and then it goes,
Yeah, I agree. So, Bill and Liz actually concluded
that... Is this their titties walking?
Yep, sure is. they concluded that the power drain had actually come from the barn because Liz had continually seen...
Tell me there's a barn up in this bitch.
Oh, dude, there's a barn up in this biatch.
You said they built this house or they found this house?
They found this house. Oh, it was originally a farmhouse, then they built it into a stone house. So they do have a barn because it was a farmhouse.
I do remember you saying that.
Be-member. But she said that she had seen laser-like blue lights flashing often.
Cool. That's new.
And I would have been like, that's reason number two to run my titties out.
So are they like,
out.
Okay, my question is, are they like lasers coming from above? Are they lasers like laser pointing you to drive cat crazy? Like, what are we talking about
She
here?
Said, from what I read on some of the articles, it was like inside the barn, like looked like laser lights. I don't know, flashes of blue inside.
They have a ghost rave.
Rave in the afterlife. There is no roof on fire anymore.
I feel like you can't handle this sound. That's what the energy surge It's when the beat drops.
Let's go scare some bitches. And the beat drops, my footsteps on the floor above your head.
You're so stupid. Oh. It reminds me of Hogwarts Legacy. I don't know if you got that far in this fucking game, but they have, like, this area by the Slytherin dungeons, and there's ghosts, like, having a party. And they're dancing.
I have gotten to that part.
It's my favorite place to visit.
My favorite place to visit is when you see the house elves in the like thingy with the grapes and they're like walking in it.
Oh yeah.
Just watching them like do, 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 do. Sorry. Off subject.
Oh boy.
Anyway. So odd things like this continue to happen over the next year, which like right. mad props that you even stayed in this building for a year.
Absolutely not.
Yep. Then the things actually continue to happen. They have a second child. They have a daughter. Name's Rebecca.
Cool.
Some in their
ghosts
home.
Are gonna like imprint
yeah.
on her.
So this is actually when these paranormal activities started to escalate.
Solid. Because right. they love them some babies.
Sure do. Some of these escalation activities included objects moving around the house, unexplained putrid smells, sudden drops in temperature, farm animals mysteriously dying,
oh.
and doors slamming in empty rooms.
So we got some poltergeist shit.
Some serious poltergeist
yeah.
shit.
Yikes.
There are also odd things that they heard, like the sound of someone snoring, banging, or thumping, like, all over the house. Which, the snoring one kind of threw me off. I was like, so you raved, and then you got really tired, and so now you be sleeping in the afterlife.
When you said that first, I thought you said humping, and I was like, ew.
No! like,
sorry.
I mean, I know ghosts do that, but...
I mean, do your thing.
Facts. No means no, okay?
We didn't say it was non-consensual.
When they're going after real humans,
no,
yes.
I said each other.
Oh, well, do you on that. I don't care. Paranormal, afterlife,
yeah,
get your
humans.
Freak on. Okay. Bill had an interest in paranormal phenomena, which, like, doesn't help. Like,
right.
prior to moving into this house.
Okay.
And it seemed to affect him, actually, the most.
Okay.
So his art became increasingly darker, sinister, and he began, like, spending a lot more time in his studio alone, like, obsessing over paintings. Like, I just see, like, an absolute, like, not maniac's not the word I'm looking for, but, like, just crazed person, just, like, scratching
yeah.
shit. Like, that's
yeah.
just what I see in my head.
Yeah.
Liz said that he had started going into an almost, like, trance-like state. Speak or forever fucking hold your peace, Courtney.
That's like steak.
Dude, I was listening back to some of our older episodes and I was like, wow, you suck at speaking. I don't know how people listen to this podcast when I speak, but to each their own. So yeah, trance-like state. There we go. And he would scrawl strange symbols on the wall around the house. Like, I would lose my shit on an adult doing that. Children drive me nuts, but an adult would drive me crazy.
Possessed.
Right? So these paranormal experiences and activity didn't stop, and Liz had continual encounters with apparitions.
Okay.
And not only did Bill witness this, but their children actually did. So there's
right.
many people who can actually say that this stuff happened.
Yeah, it's not like just all happening to one person.
Right.
Yeah.
So she had actually seen a dark, shadowy figure. She had seen a man with injuries who looked like he had been in an accident. And I, like, saw a little bit on this one, like, in a
yeah.
story. And, like, she basically said she was feeding her baby, asking her husband to bring her a bottle when somebody knocked on the door. She, like, went over to the door, opened it, and this man was just standing there, like, looked like he had literally been in a horrific accident.
Right, right.
And she was just like,
dude,
who
like,
is this?
When, and I think those are residual energies.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. But shit like that, I would...
Oh, I would shit myself.
Yeah,
literally.
Like,
I'm not
moving,
even trying to,
like
make it pretty.
No.
I would definitely pee myself. I know that for a fact.
At a minimum.
At a minimum, I would pee myself. Just being honest here. Your girl would probably scream, squeak, and then run for a bathroom.
It would be a toss-up if it's going to be a one or a two.
We don't know until we get there. It's part of the adventure.
Choose your own adventure.
Oh my god, I gotta stop laughing. Stupid. Anyway.
My face hurts.
At least you can find funny ha-has in this one.
Yes, we can.
She also saw a hooded figure standing at the foot of the bed.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
And the creepiest one, that's not even the creepy one. The creepy one is that there was a woman that she had met who had a crooked nose. Now, that I know that sounds not creepy. Hold on a second.
You got to re-say your whole sentence because I heard a woman with a head and a crooked nose.
I'm just nervous. Okay. No.
Slow down.
It's creepy. It doesn't sound like it at first. I'll explain why, but she saw a woman with a crooked nose. Okay. Doesn't sound creepy, but let me tell you why it's creepy.
Okay.
She later identified that woman.
How crooked is that fucking nose?
Bro, apparently enough to help her figure out who it is.
Okay.
She identified that woman as the landlord's mother who had died on the property.
Stop.
Yeah, she only figured this out when she saw a picture of the woman in the house.
I was going to ask if they're renting this shit or if they bought this shit. So that answers my question.
Yeah. So, Bill had also had many encounters, and this is where I said no means no, with many beautiful female ghosts, as he put it.
Okay.
Who
Why are you looking, Bill?
Continually tried to seduce him. Yep. Yep. They did that.
With their titty run.
Run, titty, run. Seduce that man with your titties, with my ghost titties that you can see through. Oh my god, why? Stupid. Anyway.
I hate us.
Dude, we suck. Okay.
I'm sorry for this whole episode.
It's a mess.
You can throw it all away, it's fine.
Throw it away. At one point, the local Baptist minister was convinced the family was being stalked by a demon.
See, yeah.
Yeah. Throughout the 7 years that they lived at this property, like, mind you, I'm like, blown away for 7 years.
You are renewing your lease.
Facts.
You keep renewing it. What are you doing?
Well, and I'll explain why in a second, but okay. They had many awful paranormal experiences, but at the time, the UK was struggling through a recession.
Okay.
And it was, like, one of the worst property slumps in the country's history. And so, basically, they could not move out for almost 7 years.
Right.
Which, like, damn. My soul hurts for you.
What if that demon made that recession, man?
Right.
Yeesh.
They had no choice but to stay here. And they even called in a local priest and had a team of parapsychologists.
Paralegals.
Dumbass. Parapsychologists. Get it straight, Courtney. God. Oh, sometimes I really hate my brain in my mouth.
That you sounded awful. You didn't say too. All of it. It was me that just egged it on.
I had to slowly say it, though, so I didn't say paralegals. Anyway. But what caused this haunting to come to an end was an exorcism from Eddie Burks, who said there was a quote-unquote pre-Christian presence lurking in the home.
Excuse me?
I don't try to understand before spiritual
Christ,
anything.
Like a lot of things were before Christ.
Well, before Christian. So it's like pre-Christian. So like before Christianity
Christ.
Came to this country.
I said Christianism. What a dumbass I am. Christianity is
Yeah, Christ. It's before Christianity came to the UK, is what he's saying. So
okay,
it's,
I see. Okay.
So, yeah,
I got
so he's I got basically you. Saying bad juju.
But I'm like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. His wording's weird. It's fine.
Agreed. he attempted to move the presence, and that actually caused the activity to die down. And then soon after, the family left the home, which is great. But Bill and Liz did unfortunately divorce soon after due to the stress of their paranormal experiences.
Of course, she's like, I know you're looking at those ghost titties.
Yeah, girl.
I'm just like, how? Because you say he tried to move the presence and just the mental image that gets like. Him carrying this box with this blue lights, because, you know,
Raven.
Rave.
Raven.
And he's just like.
Just drops it in a river or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like, where the fuck are you moving it, bro? Like, if it needs a vessel, where are you going to fucking put it?
Weird. I don't know. Put it in glass, put salt around it. You're good to go. Isn't that how, what's their names from The Conjuring did it? Their daughter still has all that stuff. And she keeps it very safe, and
yeah,
I think that's
and
cool.
I'm pretty sure something got put in that Annabelle doll. Well, I mean, I know
you
something
couldn't
did.
Absolutely pay me to look at that thing in real life. And then what's funny is, like, the Annabelle that's on the movies is way cuter than the actual Annabelle doll itself.
Well, it's a Raggedy Ann doll.
It's a Raggedy Ann doll, yeah, but a really ugly Raggedy Ann doll.
My mom has one of those, and it's real creepy.
I have quite a few of them.
It gave my nephew the heebs.
I don't really like dolls and stuffed animals to begin with, so. There you go.
Why do you like it here, then?
Funko Pops don't bother me. It's, like, actual dolls. Does that make sense? Like, the old dolls that, like, my grandma collects?
Yeah. Like, porcelain dolls.
Porcelain dolls creep me.
We had, like, porcelain dolls that I think came from Germany, if I remember right, from some family members. I was very little. But they, like, sat in a shelf on my room for a long time, and then I started being like, these are creeping me out, and I feel like they're watching me all the time, so they moved. Yeah. They're very pretty dolls, but they weirded me out. Well, anyway, thanks for cheating and sharing two stories.
You're welcome. The first one was literally, like, a paragraph.
Yeah, that's wild.
So.
It's just crazy. Well, thanks.
Of course.
So much. I'm also getting spooky with it.
Oh!
Which is pretty par for me, so I was surprised that you went so spooky. Sorry, my chair. I had to move myself.
You're fine.
But I'm keeping us in our home state.
Oh! In the Colorado. Big CO?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Anyone that doesn't know we're from Colorado, it's all the information you get.
It's a box. It's like literally the only box on the United States map.
Yeah. It's all the information you get. Okay.
Okay.
But I'm going to talk about the Stanley Hotel. Today.
That makes us very famous.
Yes. So the Stanley Hotel is located in the mountain town of Estes Park, which is
stunning.
So beautiful. Like,
stunning.
Literally, it's one of those places that you go and you're just like, how is this an actual real place?
Yeah.
It's got like beautiful little cabins. It's got these like quaint little shopping areas.
Columbines just everywhere in the springtime.
Yeah. All over the place.
Super pretty.
Yeah. And it's located just outside of the Rocky Mountain National Park, which also...
Weird that we both in national parks. I digress.
Oh, yeah. That is weird. Anyway. And there's, like, other ways that our stories are similar. Why did we do that?
It's your fault. I had this written a long time ago. You had to do yours the other night.
Yeah, I did it last night. / today. Whatever. But, yeah, Rocky Mountain National Park is absolutely
stunning.
Beautiful. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Eric Stenslin, I'll probably put a link to his website in here just so you can see it. His photography is so beautiful, and he has a gallery in Estes Park. Oh my gosh. I just am obsessed. So the hotel was actually built by an inventor named Freeland Oscar Stanley. He also went by F.O. Stanley. Foe Stanley. Okay.
Oh, I totally thought of fuck off Stanley. But
fuck
yes.
off Stanley.
Sorry. That's nothing against Stanley. It just, that's what the F.O. like came to in my head.
Shut up. You said her name.
Shut up. Bitch. No.
No. She doesn't even say anything back. I wish I could name the episode that. Fuck off, Stanley. The hotel's built by this inventor, not fuck off Stanley. Freeland Oscar Stanley. He actually moved to the area when he had fallen ill with tuberculosis.
Yeah, this place is huge and well known for
this. Colorado was a hot spot and notorious for people coming here when they had tuberculosis or consumption, whichever you want to call it, because it was just known for its clean air and its abundant sunshine. And so it
and also its better. Elevation was the other thing. Colorado's at a much higher elevation.
Yeah, which is weird because like it's not. Lungs aren't made for this elevation,
no.
So it's weird that that worked, but okay.
No. Anyone that comes here and gets altitude sickness, I feel for you, because
right.
I don't notice it, but I'm also from here.
Right, exactly, yeah. Freeland actually ended up recovering fully from tuberculosis.
You're
while
welcome.
He's here. Yeah, so he's like,
our state.
It worked. So he and his wife, Flora, decided that they wanted to build a hotel in the Estes Valley. The hotel ended up being absolutely massive, and it is
massive.
Yeah, it's built in the Georgian colonial style, and it opened in 1909. It sits on 68 acres, and it doesn't even look that big.
No.
When you're there, like, I've been there before, and it has 14 buildings. Oh my gosh, words are so hard.
Well, and, like, that 68 acres also has, like, so much lush, like, greenery and like gardens and stuff like that. Like, it's really pretty.
Yeah.
I truly love it up there.
Yeah. It's got a lot of stuff. Yeah. Within the 14 buildings that are on there, it has various amenities. It's got the Cascades Restaurant, and it has a whiskey bar, which has Colorado's largest stock mm-hmm. of whiskey, which I didn't know, or collection of it. It has over 1,400 whiskey bottle types. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Yeah, so any whiskey lovers.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been in that bar. I don't know where they put all that whiskey, but okay. I don't drink whiskey, but... Do your thing. Aside from the restaurant, it's got, in the restaurant, it's got an outdoor dining space, and it has, like, cascading waterfalls around it. It also has a marketplace, and the marketplace has specialty retail, historical archives, gourmet coffee, tour excursions you can do, and there's also a boutique hotel on site, so separate from the main hotel, and there's a wellness center that has a spa, just all kinds of shit. There's even, like, a venue for concerts. It's crazy.
I think they also have, like, a library, don't they? Or something like that?
I think it's part of the marketplace. Is it like, part of it? For the archive. Oh, okay. Yeah, the archival stuff. I could be wrong. But, yeah.
I do know they have a library on site, though, which is kind of cool. For all the book nerds out there.
Yeah. Really cool. It's an awesome place. There are also 200 hotel rooms, 40 condominium units, which I didn't know, and 47 homes.
Did not know that.
Yeah. It's crazy. Upon its opening, guests were, like, really impressed with it because even though it was pretty much in the boondocks for that time, granted, it's not a super still developed is area. Kind of yeah, it's still a small town for all intents and purposes, yeah. But there's a lot more now. The hotel still had modern amenities. It had electricity, telephones, cooking staff, maids, you know, whole nine yards. It quickly gained notoriety as a really popular destination to just get some quiet and some relaxation, especially for people living on the East Coast. So a lot of people would flock from New York and the busier cities to go stay at the Stanley because it was very quiet and they could get some rest.
That kind of blows my mind in like the 1800s.
It was the
1900s. Mm-hmm. Okay, still, early 1900s, like mass transit wasn't...
Right, I'm like, you taking a damn train out there?
I mean, that's the only thing I can think right, of. I mean, like...
Planes were a thing until after the 20s, like early planes. So yeah, anyway, became a very popular destination. Soon after the hotel opened, though, strange shit started happening, okay? In June of 1911, so 2 years after the hotel opened, there had just been a flood in the area and power went out throughout the hotel. So Freeland Stanley, the builder dude, he set up gas lanterns in all of the rooms so that guests would have light. Very nice of him. However, a leak ended up happening in room 217 of gas fumes. So the head chambermaid of the hotel named Elizabeth Wilson, she went into the room a little bit later and ended up lighting a candle. Yikes, exactly. So gas fumes and ignition of any kind don't go together well.
Yeah, no, bad idea.
Yeah, because there was such an abundance of gas fumes, the ignition of the candle set off a massive explosion.
Stop.
Yeah.
I'm sure massive is probably an understatement.
Yeah. So Wilson reportedly was thrown from the doorway of the room, which was located on the second floor, to the dining hall on the first floor.
Whoa.
She miraculously survived. She was she was in a coma, though, for a long while. I don't know exactly how long, but she even ended up returning to work by 1913 at the hotel. And she stayed working there until 1950.
Whoa, badass bitch.
Yeah. And when that explosion happened, reportedly about 10% of the hotel sustained some damage from the incident. Yeah. It's a big hotel. After her death, many guests have claimed to see Wilson in that room specifically.
Wouldn't be surprised. That's a traumatic moment.
Right. They note that she isn't necessarily a frightening spirit. She's pretty much just a helpful one. Guests say that their room has been, like, cleaned or straightened up while they sleep, like their clothes folded, you know, things like that. Right.
Nope.
One guest even said that their bed was made around them while they slept in it.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm titty running my ass out. I'm absolutely not.
Courtney's gonna make titty running a thing now.
Right? It's gonna be a thing.
Strangely enough, though, in that same room, 217, married couples claim, though, that they feel a little bit of a chillier spirit in there. And there's a presence that ends up lying in the bed with them while they sleep. I just think about, like, staying there, because I stayed the night over there the one time I went. I think I've been there twice, but I only stayed once. And it is just a weird vibe. It's a really weird vibe. I'll post some of my own pictures.
I feel so Instagram violated, too. And that's not even me.
Oh, just you wait, girl. It's getting better. Although the hotel really had a lot of early success, it unfortunately fell on rougher times during the 70s. It had
years of... I mean, that was disco time, man.
Well, yeah. They were like, I'm going to stay in this gorgeous Georgian colonial building.
No, everyone was on that dance floor right? with them disco balls and afros.
It experienced many years of neglect. Pretty much, it was just due to lack of investors, from all I saw. And it was actually possibly going to be demolished at one point. But it ended up not. So, that's awesome.
I did not know it was going to be demolished.
Yeah, I don't think it was like...
it's not.
Yeah, I don't think it was like a big... I don't think it was definitely going to happen, but it was definitely talked about. For sure. Yeah. But in the 70s, things ended up taking a very strange turn of events, and it really just changed the entire trajectory of the hotel. In the 1970s, a man named Stephen King, just like this weird dude. I don't know him. Do you know him? No.
Nah.
Like Stephen King?
Like, aliens, maybe?
Just an author. He wrote a couple things, I guess. His wife, Tabitha, and he traveled from their home in Boulder, Colorado,
to Estes Park. I forgot he lived
in
Boulder.
I did, too. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. And they went there for a weekend away. It was about an hour drive from their home, and they were just getting away from their kids, to be honest. They ended up happening upon the Stanley. I mean, they knew it existed, but that was where they were looking for lodgings. And Estes Park is a really big tourist destination, mm-hmm. so it has seasons of tourism. And the hotel was on its last day of its tourism season, so Stephen and Tabitha were the only guests in the hotel that night, which is crazy. And guess what room they stayed in? 217, which is where the chambermaid Elizabeth Wilson had accidentally blown some shit up.
So, I did not know that correlation.
Yeah. And this is from, like, an official, like, Colorado website, so it has to be true. I knew that he stayed on the second floor, but I didn't know it was that same room.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know the actual room number, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the room has, like, a special sign on it now and stuff, right. But.
Yes, exactly. So, shit got weird. Stephen King has been interviewed many times about his stay at the Stanley, and if you don't know why, I will tell you why. If you don't, it's all going to come together because you may not have known the semantics of some things.
I know a lot of people don't know the semantics, yeah. So I'm here for it.
So King later explained in many interviews he's done that during his stay, he had an extremely vivid and lucid nightmare.
I hate or nightmares. Those. I only ever have nightmares or bad dreams, and those vivid ones are the worst.
Yeah. In the article that I got most of this from in Uncover Colorado, King said, he quote, dreamed of a coiled fire hose coming to life and chasing his screaming son as he ran down the halls of the hotel. And I'm just picturing that because I went and, like, tripped around the hotel late at night, and I'm just picturing that in that creepy-ass hotel. And
I'm not going to say what I'm picturing because it's going to foreshadow. So
yeah, continue. Shut up, Courtney.
Sorry.
He understandably woke up in a fucking panic.
Well,
yeah, and he decided to light a cigarette, try to calm himself down.
Don't do that in that room.
Right, I know. I was just like, thankfully, nothing happened in that case. But he was just kind of standing there smoking, looking out the window of the hotel room. And in that time that he was just sitting there contemplating his dream, he came up with the rough outline for what would become a little-known thing as The Shining. The Shining is based on the Stanley Hotel.
Jack.
In case you didn't know.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah. And those creepy little fucking twins.
Dude, that's what I was imagining when you were talking about the hallway. Yeah. Those damn twins in that hallway.
Yep. Exactly.
That used to creep me out. I didn't think the movie was creepy. The book is creepy.
Book is definitely creepy.
Book is definitely creepy. Sure. But the movie used to just irritate me, and I used to laugh at the Here's Johnny part. And then the twins is the only part that really just, like, gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yes.
And the tricycle.
Yep.
Very It vibes, which is also Stephen King, like, if you don't know that.
He also wrote It. So, that's where The Shining came from, and that's where the inspiration for it came from. So,
yikes.
That really is something that, like, rocketed the hotel.
I bet.
To, just kind of...
be very popular.
Yeah. So, Freeland Stanley, who, as you remember, is the one who built this hotel, he passed away in 1940. He lived to be 90 1 year old after with having tuberculosis. Yeah.
Holy shit.
That collar out of air, it really did it for him, man. Yeah. But many people claim that his spirit still stays at the hotel.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Understandably, yeah. And guests and employees even say that his wife, Flora, is often tinkering around on the piano in the hotel.
That speaks to your soul.
Yes. And I tell you what, I fucking heard that piano playing at odd times when I was there. And I'm just saying. So,
whatever. I believe in that stuff. So, like, that creeps me out. Same. No.
There are many claims of hearing children's laughter throughout the hotel.
I hate anything about children ghosts. Yeah, I hate it.
Especially on the fourth floor. Oh. Some claim that there is the ghost of a child that will play with people's hair. Room 217 isn't the only one with a reputation, though. Room 401.
401, yep.
On the fourth floor has also created a lot of buzz about being one of the eeriest rooms to stay in. And I had a family member, I'm not going to get too specific, but that was staying, I believe, on the fourth floor. And she was weird. I'll kind of tie it in with what I'm about to talk about. But there really is, like, anyone that stays in the room or even kind of just goes in the room for any period of time usually has something to say. It apparently is haunted by a male, unknown who, but he's notoriously unfriendly. And female guests have reported being touched in inappropriate ways.
Told you!
Yeah.
No means no!
I know. Especially when they're standing in the closet of the room. Yeah. Just down the hall from this room is room 407.
Yeah.
It has many reports of guests being tucked into bed by an invisible being.
Yeah, no.
As well as someone sitting on the foot of the bed.
Yeah, no.
And people will try to, like, look to see if someone's there and have reportedly seen an indentation at the end of the bed. But see no one there otherwise. Yeah.
Guys, I'm stressed.
And then, also on the fourth floor, room 428 has what is apparently a cowboy spirit.
I've heard this one.
He likes to lurk over the bed.
I was going to say, while guests are sleeping.
Or he just stands in the corner and creeps.
Like the Marlboro Man?
Yeah.
In the stand.
I'm just like picturing the shadow of the Marlboro Man.
Right? I just, in Vegas they have the Neon Museum, and that's one of the neons mm-hmm. they have, is one of the original yeah. Marlboro Mans.
Yeah.
And, like, that image is, like, ingrained in my head, because you used to see it on everything, like,
yeah.
cigarette cartons, yep. all of that, and it's yep. a very distinct stance, and that's what I yes. think of when we talk about Yeehaw yep. Man. Ow,
my ankle. What's really weird, though, is that the fourth floor is the highest in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And many people report hearing sounds above the room, like footsteps or furniture moving. My family member that was staying in their room heard shit above them. And they were on the fourth floor, if I remember properly. I will double check on that and I will edit this out if that's not correct. But I swear, because I remember going in the room and it was like an attic type kind of ceiling. And they definitely heard shit above them.
Boy. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yikes.
No. Nope. Mm-mm.
Rachel Thomas, she's one of the, I don't know if she still is, but at this time was one of the hotel's tour supervisors. She said in a 2021 interview that she just randomly fell ill while she was on the fourth floor, just for no reason whatsoever. She was fine, and then she went up there and she got really sick. So.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Do with that what you will. The hotel also boasts a lot of odd amenities. Some of the past owners of the hotel have buried pets on the grounds, and there is a full-blown pet cemetery up in there, which I didn't know
until I read this. I knew that there was a pet cemetery, but I didn't know it was, like, on the grounds. I thought yeah. it was just part of Estes Park.
From this article, it said it was, like, on the grounds of the hotel, which it's a lot of Estes Park, to be fair.
True.
Yeah. There is a story, and it has to be because people tell us about the, like, grounds of it. So it may be, like, more along where the houses are and stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah. But there's a story of a golden retriever named Cassie whose spirit reportedly still delivers newspapers to guests, which I guess she had done it before, aww. And scratches at doors to be let in from outside. Aww. I'll be like, you can come in anytime to hang out with me.
Oh, the baby.
I know, it's so precious. You need a little golden retriever.
Oh, yeah, they're such happy babies.
Yeah, they're just so derpy and happy and just lovely.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Oh, sweet angel.
To leave on an especially odd note, there is also a large system of caves under this hotel.
I did know this.
I've heard about it, but I didn't know it was actually true.
Yes.
Apparently, they were constructed so that employees can travel under the hotel because when it first opened, it was thought that it was very unprofessional for mm-hmm. the employees to be seen all the time, which I'm like,
that's also, rude. They get so much snow up there. I did hear, like, it's hard to travel from, like, one facility yeah. to another. And so that's it was fair. Just easier.
It would be cold. Transit. Balls down there, though.
Hell no. I wouldn't.
It's cold enough above ground.
Jeez, no joke.
Yeah. And it's, or I already said it was seen as unprofessional when the hotel first opened, which I think is rude. They're doing so much for guests, but whatever.
Yep.
The caves travel between the hotel bar, laundry facilities, the restaurant, and the rooms. So really just able to get all around the main part of the hotel. Apparently, there's a ghost of a former pastry chef that haunts the caves, as people have frequently reported baked goods just showing up down there out of nowhere.
I want a ghost like that. I just know. Like drop off some pastries.
You just
want
to make me a little croissant? I've been listening to so many English audiobooks lately, and they always say croissant.
Croissant.
And then us uncultured swine say croissants.
Croissant.
Croissant.
We literally enunciate so much.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like... Hooked on phonics, man. Right. Best Did thing not in work childhood. For me. No, opposite for me. I literally phonetically sound out everything because of it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't work for us because we're just terrible with words.
True.
Yeah.
Wow. That's yeah. so.
Ooh. But now the hotel, it's very gimmicky. They like do a yeah. whole tour for The Shining and stuff. But it feels really cool because you can just kind of navigate around. Mm-hmm. You can avoid the hokey stuff within yeah. it. But in the main, like, staircase that goes up to the second floor from the main lobby entrance, there's all these, like, picture frames and mirrors and all this stuff. And it's so weird.
I don't like mirrors on walls. Yeah,
but I'll post some of my own pictures to our Instagram carousel yeah. that I have of it, too. But I have the, like, brochure for the hotel, which gives all kinds of cool stuff. It's kind of funny to see this, like... you know, luxury hotel side and then the, like, spooky, creepy side. So I liked having both of it. I thought it was a cool juxtaposition between it.
I know someone who had their, like, honeymoon there.
Nice.
And they did, like, they have these ghost tours during October, mm-hmm. I think is when they do it, September, October time.
They do all year round, girl.
Well, they have, like, specific ones for Halloween.
Specifically?
Specific. Ones for Halloween, and cool. they're, like, lantern tours. Like, they turn off your lanterns, yeah. and, like, you kind of go on. You get, like, EVP devices and stuff.
That's the word I was trying to look for earlier.
EVP?
Yeah. When we were talking about the power surges mm-hmm. and the creepy farmhouse.
That thing. Yep. But you can take them on that tour and then, cool. like, talk to spirits and stuff. It's kind of... I've heard it's really fun. It's not very gimmicky. It's very... Yeah. Like, it kind of freaked everyone out when they turned yeah. the lanterns They've got off because you're in pure darkness.
Right. They've got to just be going with... the spookiness that they have just by nature up there. Because yeah. it is. It's weird. It's like, it's wilderness up there.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's creepy at night.
Literally the town. I'm going to call yeah. it a town because it's not big enough for a city.
Yeah, it's just
the town is literally it. Yeah. Like, it's miles of nothing. Yep. And then Estes Park.
Yeah. It's like you go around this bend where there's this lake and then it just
boop, right there. And then, yep. like, 5 minutes, you're out of the town and
yep.
on your way to the wherever you're going.
Yeah, but it really is an absolutely beautiful place.
Oh, so pretty.
Yeah, but I'll post links so you can see more pictures of it, post the article where I got the spooky information from, and then the brochure where I got the more semantics of the hotel from. So, yeah, that's the Stanley.
Welcome to Colorado.
Yeah, go. South Park is already here, is also here. That's a real place.
It is a real place.
And it is literally the tiniest town. It is like a street bomb.
Like, the cartoon is literally... depicted yes. after that town, yeah. and they nailed it.
And you can cross through if you're going up to Breckenridge.
Yes. And literally, like, you blink and that town's gone.
Yeah, I almost missed it once, and I was like,
oh, shit, that's South Park. You know how many people I have who ask me if that's a real place? And I'm like, promise you, it's a real place. The yep. Stanley Hotel is a real place. Like, there's yep. a lot of places here that people think are fake. Fictional. Mm-hmm. And is that the right word? Fictional.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they always ask, like, is that true? Have you been there? They always ask if I've been there. And I'm like...
Cars is a decently sized state.
It's a decently
state.
Sized state,
there
guys.
There are many places. Cars is one of those states that literally, like... you can go one place and it feels like you're in a completely different world.
Absolutely.
I have not even discovered even probably a quarter of our state.
Yeah, not even for
and
me
there's
either.
Some weird fucking places up in here that I will never go to.
Facts.
Ever. But anyway.
Yeah, with that.
That's the Stanley.
Wow.
Fun.
I feel like I need to go. I've never stayed there. I've only, like, gone up and seen.
We should go.
I'm down. That'd be a fun adventure for us.
Yeah. And Estes Park is so cool anyway. Well, if you want to send us some creepy stories, like, send them. Like, we'll cover it.
Yeah.
Some lore, some weird mythology, some weird shit that you want to hear us talk about, make fun of, and make...
More so make fun of each other than
anything. That's more what it boils down to. Like, in this one, we feel more comfortable to, like, call things out because we're not talking about so sensitive of subjects.
Yep.
So, yeah, it just gets goofy up in here.
Goofy!
But you can send them to us at our email, thenickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com, or to any of our socials. Those all live in our link tree. I'm not going to tell you where they are. Just do it.
Just click it or tick it.
But, yeah, that's what we got for you today, kids.
Cool. So with that, we done. We're going to let you have the rest of your day, night, evening, whatever it may be.
What the fuck are you saying?
I don't know.
You're ending a meeting at work.
I sure am.
We're cutting this meeting early. You can have 5 minutes of your day back.
Yes. I did that today. Because I'm cool like that.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, I digress. Keep it creepy and stay freaky.
And we will see you guys next Tuesday, okay?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Ew.
We always say it the same way. Stop doing that.
Well, that's your fault.
Bye-bye. Bye.